Welcome to the Brew Crew Review Podcast, the show by fans for fans of your Milwaukee Brewers.
All right, Brewer fans, welcome to the Brew Crew Review Podcast, number 40-something. with me tonight is Scott. The Brewers just finished the first game of probably the biggest series of the season against St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis as we enter the last week of 2008 regular season schedule. And the Brewers come away with a 6-4 victory and have now reduced their magic number to make the playoffs to 3. Scott, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's got to be about midnight back in Milwaukee, but, you know, that game was absolute playoff atmosphere all the way around, like, unbelievable. And I don't know, if you're back home, you just have to do this and just enjoy it tonight because it was a phenomenal game. It was weird because at times it seemed like, you know, absolute playoff game, two crisp teams playing baseball, you know, the way they teach you. But after the rain came in, it kind of looked like two Little League teams just throwing the ball around in the mud. And, you know, all in all, it was an interesting game. A lot of mistakes, a lot of miscues, but definitely had that playoff feel, and the Brewers came away with it.
And to me, it was a very pivotal game. Obviously, if we come off a loss on that one where the Cardinals are breathing down our neck with two more games coming up against them, we would not have anything near have guaranteed a playoff spot. And as of this taping, this is our 48th season in the Milwaukee Brewers, I believe, as a franchise since 1970. And we've only made the playoffs four times, and the fifth one would have been is going to be pretty sweet. I think that this victory is really putting us on the way to making the playoffs some form here. We still have a shot as of this podcast to win the division as we're sitting a game and a half behind the Cubs. So there's a chance. I mean, obviously, we're not as good of a chance, but I think there's a very good chance now that we are going to make one of the two wild card spots and have a very good chance of hosting the wild card game at Miller Park, which, if you want to tell our viewers, and other highly anticipating, Scott, exactly what flight that you're going to be on next week so that they can kind of help greet you at the airport possibly. That'd probably be pretty helpful.
I've been going back and forth on this for a while. I definitely took off. It's funny because our I'm sure the fans really care about this. Our refrigerator broke, and they're supposed to deliver it next Monday. And I'm like, I might have to take a last-minute flight, so I'm not real sure that's going to happen. So, you know, I might just have to, you know, go without cold food or drink for a while. Just, you know, I mean, you have to make sacrifices. I mean, we only make the playoffs once a decade, like you said.
Absolutely. Got to make sacrifices. Someone else can deliver the fridge. But anyway, we're just packing everything in a nice cooler.
Hey guys, I'm jumping on really quick.
Awesome.
It's pretty late out here on the East Coast, so I'll probably have to jump off fairly quickly. I do have some early morning stuff I have to be at, but thought I would jump on and just say hi quick.
Awesome. What a special guest last minute entry by Vince. I'm hoping Chad will fall through here any moment, but
should we wait? Should we wait for him, or maybe just go on?
I don't know. It's starting to be dawn here soon. I don't know if that's a good idea. No, actually, Scott was just telling the viewers at home, Vince, you're missing this, exactly what flight he's going to be on next week to come home for the wild card game so that he could our potential NLDS series next week so that all of our Brew Crew Review podcast fans could possibly greet him at the airport when his flight comes in. But anyway, he's still non-committal.
Yeah, no, it's going to be exciting, Scott. And just so you know, though, in case you haven't flown for a while, the airlines have stopped serving free alcohol, so you're going to have to purchase whatever you consume on the actual flight. So just be prepared for that. And and make sure you bring a major credit card with you for your in-flight beverage purchases.
Yeah, I haven't flown a plane in a while, or flown a plane. been on a plane in a while. But, you know, I celebrated like 8 or 9 times before we started taping because it was such a great game.
You're doing great.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, some things are going to be a little bit off, but I think you guys are going to be able to overall just kind of piece it together. It's not a big deal. But no, it's kind of cool because now when I fly, I don't have to take my shoes off. So that's kind of, yeah.
And the correct answer to your question, Craig, is there will be no wild card game because the Brewers are going to win the division. So I think that that's the answer that we're going for. So we won't need to play that one an out wild card game. We will just win the division so we get an actual playoff series.
See, and that's the problem. Like, well, that's what's going on in, like, the fans of, like, the heads of every Brewer fan right now, because everybody's looking at this, and technically we could still get eliminated and not make the playoffs. Absolutely, that could totally happen. Especially because when you figure that we just kind of blew our bullpen tonight, who's going to be available tomorrow? I have a feeling Hayner's not going to be available. Not sure about Soria, so who knows what's going on with Jeffers. We actually did send out some feelers to our anonymous source, Tom Carter, to figure out what's going on with Jeffers, if he's injured or what was going on with that. But I don't know what's going on with that.
You're supposed to call him Tom C. or T. Carter, not the full name Tom Carter, because, again, he's an anonymous source, so he doesn't want to be known. We don't want to say his name, Tom Carter, on here, so we just have to say either T. Carter or Tom C., either one is fine.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure he was, like, you know, given credit where it's due, you know, and make sure, I don't know.
That makes sense. But, yeah, well, anyway, I don't think the Jeffers is seriously hurt, or we probably would have heard something. But, you know, my guess is that he just tweaked something that, you know, there was a slight aggravation of something that the Brewers are being overly cautious with him, because obviously with the Brewers' position right now, the odds are that we will be in some sort of playoff position here at the end of this week. So you don't want to have Jeffers be a loss for the playoffs. So I think that the Brewers are probably just being overly cautious. And as you and most of our viewers know, you know, with expanded rosters, it does give Council a number of different options that we wouldn't have had back in August or any other month of the season. But right now we've got, you know, several lefties that we can use in the pen between Jennings and Cedeno and Hayner. We've got a number of guys in the pen that we can bring in. And so I think that if I had to guess, it would just be that the Brewers are being overly cautious. But I'm sure our colleague Tom Hartford is all over the story, but we'll have to check in with the Brewers ourselves maybe to get the real version.
You know, actually, our other inside source, Vikram, just tweeted us and said that it potentially could be neck spasms. I haven't heard anything about this. This is breaking. But, you know,
wow.
This comes out, you know, we might know
more about information.
And, well, and you know what? Yeah. If he did actually put this out, then he probably scooped our colleague Tom Hardicourt, who is sometimes a little bit late to the dance, not sure.
This game ended at least an hour past Hardicourt's bedtime, so I'm sure he'll get up early and take care of it. But
for what it's worth, it ended an hour past mine as well. So, you know, I can feel his pain on that. But, yeah, I think it's, you know, our colleague Tom is always trying to get to the bottom of the story. I mean, he does get pretty angry when people interrupt his interviews, but that must be what happened with the Jeffers situation.
Yeah. So, anyway, while we got Vince on here, we should talk a little bit about, I don't know, we're not going to do a rapid nine during this episode, but quick throw out, what day will the Brewers clinch their, of this week, will the Brewers clinch their fifth ever in history playoff appearance?
Boy, let's think optimistically. I'll just throw out their Thursday, the off day. I think if the Brewers, now with their game one win over the Cardinals, can win one more of the two remaining games against the Cardinals, and depending on what's going on, you know, around baseball, I think that we could win it on Thursday, clinch something on Thursday.
I'll say Friday. I was hoping to go to the game on Friday. Unfortunately, I do have to be at the safe house, but the Brewer fans have been great lately on Friday nights after the Brewer wins. The home games have been coming on down in flocks to the safe house. So if you're listening and you're in Milwaukee area, you're going to the game to see us clinch a playoff spot on Friday night, come on down afterward. Maybe I'll go to the first half of the game before I have to head down there. But anyway, yeah, I'm expecting a clinch by Friday of this week. Scott?
Awesome.
I want to say Friday, but I think it's probably going to be Friday. And I think it's actually, as far as like potentially hosting a wild card game or winning a division, that might come down to the very last game of the year. And that's going to be interesting.
So you guys may have said this before before I jumped on the line here, but the Brewers are now a game and a half back in the division because the Cubs lost and the Brewers win today. So, I mean, with five games to play, I mean, anything really could still happen. I mean, I know that it's a tough slog to make up a game and a half at this point in the year, but stranger things have happened, and that lead has grown and shrank a number of times over the last couple of weeks, I mean, for what it's worth. So, you know, if Brewers are going to get hot this week and somehow win this series in St. Louis, and the Cubs are, you know, facing Archer Small, and they've got they've played, I think, just okay against the Pirates this season. It could get really interesting here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, and I mean, the Cubs, I think this is really a year to overtake the Cubs in the division, and hopefully, even if we don't win the division, we are going to win the wild card game. We are going to play the Cubs in the first round of playoffs and knock them out regardless. And here's the reason why. Chris Bryant's still not healthy, I guess. His shoulder's still hurting him. Anthony Rizzo's had an off year. The Cubs bullpen is trash. They had a couple of decent arms in the back of the pen. Marrow and Strope are both injured. They don't worry me whatsoever. I'm a little bit annoyed by their fans, but hopefully, you know, they can be sent packing pretty quickly or whatever. But it is interesting. I'm sure all Brewer fans are aware at this point. But, of course, the last weekend regular season series, comes down to the Brewers hosting the Tigers at home for three games. And then, of course, we're without their best pitcher, Michael Fulmer, who's out for the season.
Right.
And then also the Cubs and Cardinals face each other to close out the year. So I guess I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I guess technically one of the two teams will have to lose some of those games. Whereas
this isn't the NFL, Craig. There's no ties here.
Exactly. So, I mean, with that being said, I think bodes well for the Brewers. Currently, magic number sitting at three. I really think that this is happening. So,
I mean, the Brewers could be in this weird position with that final series that you mentioned, Craig, between the Cubs and Cardinals, where, you know, we're a few games ahead now of the Cardinals to the point where I think it would be really tough for them to catch us, and we're close enough to the Cubs where we could, in theory, catch them. I mean, we've got half the difference to make up the Cardinals due to us. So, I mean, if the Cardinals are able to get knocked around by us this week and then they knock around the Cubs, I mean, things can get really interesting. It's probably the dream scenario for Brewer fans.
No, I see where you're going, Vince. It's just something along the lines of on Friday night we're rooting for the Cardinals to beat the Cubs, and then
right.
Saturday we're rooting for the Cubs to beat the Cardinals.
Right,
something
exactly.
Like that. But, yeah,
it could be something very interesting. But, you know, again, with the Cardinals being further back in the division race, they're pretty much the hour out of it for the division, essentially. So I think at that point you'd cheer for the Cardinals over the Cubs if we're in a position to take the division. Because, obviously, you know, a one-out playoff game, and I know there's different opinions about this. I'm not a huge fan of the second wild card team. I understand that more cities can stay in contention longer and all that is great. But, you know, the fact that a team has got to not only win the wild card, but then play a one-game playoff and postseason game, essentially, just to get into the actual playoff, to me, I mean, anything can happen in that one game. So, obviously, it's great if we can make the postseason, however we do it, but – boy, it would sure be nice to actually win the division so we didn't have to face that one-and-done scenario.
Yeah, that would be ideal. So, I mean, a whole bunch of different scenarios could play out where there could even be a play-in game or, next Monday, basically, like possibly for the division, possibly for who hosts the wild card. I did find out that in the worst-case scenario, we somehow – tank it this week, the rest of this week, and end up like tied with the Rockies or something. If there was a one game plan for the second wild card or something like that, we did win the season series against the Rockies, so we would host that game at Miller Park. So right. Things are looking fairly good that there's going to be some baseball played in October at Miller Park. So that in and of itself is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because that's next Monday's October 1st, so the Brewers are still going to be alive, I believe. So,
good. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Some kudos and accolades to and congratulations to Brewers Christian Yelich being named the NL Player of the Week this last week. His third time this season. Mm-hmm. His numbers for the season are outstanding. They're very similar to, if you go back and look at Robbie Young's 1982 stats, where he won the NL MVP. It's just ridiculous. At this point, Christian Yelich is really prime position to win the batting title. Hopefully, he can finish up the season strong and do that. I really feel that he's positioned himself to really be one of the top two finalists for the award, and I really believe he deserves it.
Well, also just to go along with that, Christian Yelich being named Player of the Week again, he's the only player in baseball to be named three times on the year. So, you know, that in and of itself shows it's not just a spur-of-the-moment good week. I mean, he's really been able to put up consistently way above average numbers. So it's a real pleasure to watch him. He's, I can't remember if it was before our last podcast, but he hit the cycle again, the two cycles, essentially within a three-and-a-half-week span. Just incredibly special player to watch. And, you know, he had a great first half, and I think that we were all very content and happy with how he played in the first half. He was an all-star. And then all of a sudden, the second half, he can take his game to a whole new level. It's just like, you know, where the Brewers are and should be incredibly happy with the return of that trade. I'll be out here in Washington at the game tomorrow night between the Nationals and the Marlins. I'll be sure to wave the Lewis Trenton, but I really don't miss anything that we gave up in the trade at this point. Christian Yelich has just turned into a real steal and deal for the Brewers.
Oh, unbelievable. In fact, Scott, possibly for our next podcast, if you have your intern, Sapphire, checking this maybe for you because I know you won't have the time, but I'm actually kind of curious how many league MVPs were acquired by the team the year before their via trade before their MVP season. I'm gonna guess it's only a handful.
One of them is Raleigh Fingers. One of them is Raleigh Fingers by the Brewers,
that's right,
1981 from the Cardinals in that offseason before. So
okay, this we got one. But yep. I'm sure Seth, I'll get right on that. But yeah, I still think it's just it goes to show. Well, we'll see what happens here. But I mean, obviously the acquisition of Christian Yelich was a catalyst for this entire season, and I know the Brewers came within one game of making the playoffs last year. But the makeup of the team this year is just completely different. And I mean, Kane and Yelich both unbelievable. I mean, I think Kane is in the top five in NL. Batting average as well, and his on-base percentage is actually above Yelich's. So, I mean, he's just unbelievable here for both.
In a true veteran style, too, with Kane, you know, he's really come through and during, it seems like, our biggest games. You know, tonight he had, what, three hits, four hits for us? It seems like every game against the Cubs, he's just on fire. It's just a real treat to be able to watch those guys back-to-back in the lineup for the Brewers. And, you know, what a great job by David Stern this offseason, in my opinion, to get those two guys.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it makes you not miss guys like Jonathan and VR having at-bats at the top of the lineup like last year or whatnot. But, yeah,
right.
Unbelievable.
Right. Hey, guys, with that, I'm going to have to let you go. As I mentioned when I called in, I have a pretty early meeting. I still have to do some prep for it before I even get a chance to get some sleep here. So just wanted to call in and say hi and go Brewers. And great win tonight, guys. And we'll see you on the second podcast later on this week.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, Vince. Stay classy.
All right. Stay classy, guys. Go Brewers.
Yep.
Go Brewers.
So, Scott. I don't know if you want to wrap it up yet or if you have anything else to discuss, or any predictions, or I guess we already predicted that they would clinch or whatever. At this point, how do you see this week playing out, and what is your prediction on what the first game the Brewers are going to be playing next week in the playoffs and where it's going to be located?
Well, I hate to say it, but if you have to put it on me, I'm going to say that we're probably actually going to wind up being the first wild card, so we won't win the division, but we will host a wild card game, which to me is actually a little bit disappointing because I know at the end, at the beginning of this year, we all kind of said that we were right around, like, I think it was like between 86 and 89 wins. With five games to go, the Brewers are already at 90 wins. So, they've already exceeded our expectations. They got off to a really hot start. They made some trades, picked up a couple of puzzle pieces along the way, and were able to, you know, kind of bump that win total up just a little bit. And it would be really disappointing to see this team go to a wild card game and be one and done, because I really feel like Stearns has done such a great job putting this team together without giving up our future. And so I don't know. It's going to be still a very wild week with five games to go.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment that it would be disappointing to be one and done, obviously, especially but to be able to host the wild card game at Miller Park, a one and done, it's like, it's the same to me. It's like the same as the seventh game or the final game in a playoff series, where the winner moves on and the loser goes home. I mean, those are some of the best games of sports, and I'm confident that this team and the way it's built, it has a chance to win that game, a really good chance, especially with a home crowd behind it, regardless of who we're playing. And I really feel that the game from tonight, which the Brewers, of course, to reiterate, we're taping on the Monday night, the Brewers did beat the Cardinals 6-4, and we started the game off with Dan Jennings facing one batter, Matt Carpenter, and then getting pulled. Trey Peralta came on for like three innings, and then the rest of the time was a bullpen game for the most part, and it was successful. I mean, actually, the guy who gave up the most runs is Josh Hader, gave up three, I believe, so four runs, and so that you can't expect that again. And I'm almost kind of glad that Hader hopefully got those runs out of his system, so now he's good to go for the rest of the season in the playoffs. But I think he's going to come up huge for a couple of innings if we do, if he is utilized in a wild card game. And I just feel pretty confident that our offense has such depth to it that we're going to score some runs in that game. And I think it would just be an awesome atmosphere, and the entire baseball world, any baseball fan, always watches the wild card games. They're some of the most exciting games to kick off the playoffs. And I'm confident that the Brewers are going to host that game and that we are going to win it and then go on and most likely play the Cubs in the NLDS, which we may have another podcast coming to you guys before all that. But the unfortunate thing about having to play the Cubs in the playoffs is just with the secondary mark on tickets or whatever, I think it doesn't bode that well for the Brewers to be able to outweigh Cubs fans for every single game at Wrigley and at Miller Park. So with that being said, though, it would be pretty sweet if we can play the Cubs and knock them out in a series too. So all this is very exciting, and I just feel really confident in the team. I know the one move Stearns has made during this season that kind of criticizes the Jonathan Scope trade. However, to the council's credit, he has not been given very many starts, and he's just kind of been a bat off the bench. And I think that's still working out because Arcia has been playing great defense, playing a little bit better. And, I mean, we just really have a great lineup with addition of some of these guys, obviously led by Yelich's MVP-type season. But even a guy like Ryan Braun, he's a great guy to have on a team, a veteran that's been a long-time Brewer. Yes, he's being overpaid. Yes, he's not a everyday starter. But to have his bat come off the bench, he really always puts in a good at-bat. And he had a huge homer to kick off the game in St. Louis tonight. And I think he's always as clutch, as Brewer fans know, when it comes to big playoff games or important games. And he's a great bat to have in the lineup. And another guy, I'll give kudos to a huge hit tonight, even though it was a little bit defensive-aided. And that's Eric Thames. He just seems like another guy that, especially coming off the bench, always comes up clutch. He's a left-handed bat, really valuable bench guy or pinch-hitting type guy to have. And another guy, Curtis Granderson, another lefty that was acquired by Stearns at the August training deadline, I think is another awesome veteran who always gets on base. Yes, he can strike out, but he's got power. He knows how to get on base. And he's totally an invaluable asset when it comes to, you know, a playoff-type team. So I think Stearns did a great job acquiring some of those guys. And I really, you know, like I said, Braun, Sames, and Granderson. I think those guys could be those clutch, you know, heroes in a wildcard type setting or whatever. So we'll see what happens. But I think the other, like, saving grace is also that Corey Knebel has, I think, reestablished himself as a dominant bullpen arm after having to go to the minor leagues for a stint and losing his closer role. I think Council has regained faith, and hopefully Brewer fans have too, to put him in tight situations. And so when you've got Hader, Knebel, Soria, and Jeffers as the back of your bullpen, as well as a bunch of nice lefties like to utilize as well, and also some young guys like Taylor Williams that, you know, could come up big. I mean, our bullpen is just outstanding overall.
There's so many things that I really want to comment on that. I mean, first of all, like our bullpen, like we were talking earlier in the episode, you had mentioned how the Cubs bullpen is so depleted. And when you look at our bullpen, I mean, we're stacked. I mean, there's so many guys here. And like you said, I mean, Knebel, he definitely didn't have it right when he's not getting his curveball over. Unfortunately, people were just kind of teeing off on his fastball. And tonight he just showed that he was like ready to step back into that closer role and ready to be like a productive part of that bullpen. And there's so many other things. I don't even know at this point. There are so many things. Like I'm just so excited about everything that happened with this series and what's going to happen coming up. I mean, it's just going to be a great atmosphere, hopefully in Milwaukee. And I guess the biggest part about that is when you look at it, the way it's probably going to go down right now is we're probably going to have to host a wild card game, one game, winner take all in Milwaukee against the effing Cardinals.
A division rival.
Yeah. And probably then if we win that, we're going to have to be the road dogs in a five-game series against the Cubs. Like, unbelievable. But if there's ever a time to exercise all the demons and just whip the hell out of everyone and just come away with the World Series, like, this would be the year, because the deck is stacked against us, unfortunately. But this team, there's really something special about it.
Absolutely, Scott. And I will say this. Yes, Vince had some trepidation about us just making the wild card because, and yourself also saying, okay, well, we could lose it, just have a bad game and lose it, and then we're done. Well, that's a possibility, but if you look at it this way, just to have the opportunity to potentially end the Cardinals season and then go on and end the Cubs season in the five-game NLDS to put us on the doorstep of our potential second ever World Series. I mean, you can't write a better story script than that. So, you know, and there's a big exclamation point having like Christian Yelich, an acquisition and you know, former Brewer reacquired, also re-signed Lorenzo Cain kind of leading the charge of this team, which I think is really built to be a good team for years to come still. So there are, you know, obviously this has been a very positive podcast that I saw some pretty legitimate concerns about our starters and whether or not they hold up through a long playoff series, something like, you know, a seven-game series. Obviously, that would be pretty taxing on our awesome bullpen, but we'll see. I mean, we've handled it throughout the whole season. We've won 90 games already with, like you pointed out, five games played. So this is definitely one of the top 3 to 5 Brewer teams ever put together in our 48 years of existence, in my opinion. So, again, our young GM, Stearns, you got to give him kudos for putting this team together, every single piece of it, including, you know, these type of vets that he did add at the training deadline, like Gio Gonzalez, who could be one of our most clutch pitchers when it comes to a long playoff series, or Curtis Granderson, who is a great veteran, a left-handed bat who could come up huge in a tight spot in a huge game. I mean, it's just those type of players that I think they're going to make a difference in a really, really good quality team. And nothing to knock Melvin, but those are the type of players that I feel that the 2011 team did lack, that, in my opinion, was probably the best Brewer team ever put together outside of the 82 team, potentially. You know, obviously right in the front of last year as a Brewer, and we had Granke, and Ron was in his prime MVP form and whatnot. And however, we just didn't have those fringe guys, and we had guys like Jerry Hairston instead of these guys. So, I mean, I just think that this team is built to make a deep playoff run. So just have the opportunity. It's definitely one of those things where we could get knocked off. It could seem really disappointing, but I mean, all you ask for is that chance. And I think we're right there. So it should be an exciting week here too.
Yeah. When you look at, Gio Gonzalez, who's, you know, he's pitched very well since he's got here, and he provides that kind of veteran leadership within our starting rotation. And then you look at a guy like Granderson, I guess I'm going to compare him to like the Mike Cameron of our wild card team, because he came over, he had that veteran presence, outfielder, New Yorker, yeah, all that kind of fun stuff. But I mean, this is a guy that he's really under the radar, but he's getting on base at such a clip at the top of the order. It's so important. I mean, it's easy to see that he's not coming up with like these ridiculously big hits or anything like that, but he's getting on base every time. I think he already has like 10 walks already as a Brewer. I mean, that's incredible. So he's just doing so much to help this team at the top of the order and just provide that veteran leadership.
And Mike Cameron is a great comp for Granderson. Outside of just the difference in lefty-righty, but they did have a similar profile with power, but knowing how to get on base. And but the difference, I think, is that back in Mike Cameron, the last time we were to the playoffs, was actually a starter for us. And Terrapelli Granderson is simply just our bat. And I think we pointed this out last podcast, but the way Stearns built a team with this really nice depth and hitters, even adding a guy like Scope now to the bench, so to speak, it could really be a huge thing because of the fact that we play in the NL, and then we have this bullpen where we make so many double switches and so many opportunities for pinch hitters or to actually utilize your bench. To have such a strong bench, I think, is going to be really big.
Do we have
strong bullpen, strong bench?
Nine, I think it was. Is that right?
What's that?
Do we have nine pitchers tonight?
I'd have to look again. That seems like a little. I want to say eight or something, but because I know Freddie did go three, but right around eight or nine pitchers. Yeah, I mean, so again, this I think was a test run, and kudos to our manager Council for trying it out at least once during the season. And I think that he chose today to do that because he said, you know what, going into St. Louis, we have to win at least one game. Let's get that win over with right away. Let's see if this experiment, like doing like a bullpen game, like I'm anticipating doing for a possible wild card game, let's give it a try and see what happens. And I mean, you'd have to say it was a success, obviously, because we won. I think it would have been more of a success if our number one reliever, Josh Hader, didn't have kind of a bad inning where he gave up three runs. Obviously, it would have really worked out well. So I think overall, I think that this is a strategy he's going to go with. Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily expect Dan Jennings to start the wild card game like again, but who knows? You know, if it's against the Cardinals and Matt Carpenter's leading off, then maybe that's what's gonna happen. It doesn't matter, I don't think. So.
Okay, so I gotta bring this up a little bit. We'll probably talk about this too much, but okay, yes, nine Brewers pitchers tonight, seven pitchers for the Cardinals. But is this the kind of thing where you throw out Dan Jennings so that you stack, like, you announce Jennings as the starter, and then the Cardinals say, oh, okay, well, we'll stack the lineup against him, and then you bring on Peralta, who's your actual starter? You know, I mean, is that what's going on here, or I don't know?
Well, that's a good question. I would think that the Cardinals would be smarter than that. I mean, what they did do is have Carpenter, a left-hander, lead off, and then did have eight straight right-handers after that. Of course, their starting pitcher was one of them who happened to be right-handed. But, I mean, it seemed like that might have been the case. But they're obviously fooled that they thought – they couldn't have possibly thought Dan Jennings was pitching more than one inning, which would have, at the most, like, gotten through the first four to six hitters or something. So, I mean, yeah, and he ended up only pitching the one hitter, and then we brought in the righties. So I don't know if that was like a trick thing, because if it is, we kind of showed them our hand. I don't think that they were that foolish, but it's an interesting question. I just think that actually the Cardinals' most everyday lineup is normally right-handed heavy to begin with. So I don't think it was necessary that they stacked it to try to get to Jennings or something like that. But who knows, you know. They probably didn't know what the Brewers were thinking, and we didn't either, I guess. Brewer fans didn't, but I think it really shows a council. I was actually speculating that he was the original starter for tonight was supposed to be Chase Anderson. I thought that he was going to use Jennings just for Matt Carpenter and then have Chase go a couple of innings. But instead, he turned to young Freddie Peralta, did a great job through three innings, but only gave up one run. But who knows? I mean, could be a similar thing for the playoffs, but who he's going to use, who knows. But we'll see. I'm definitely excited for us to clinch, and whether it be for the division would be awesome. Wild card game, I'm just as excited, to be quite honest, especially if we get to host here. I will be pretty disappointed if somehow we have such a terrible rest of the week that we end up being the second wild card team and have to go on the road to, like, St. Louis. That'd be a little bit disappointing, but we could have a repeat of tonight, and there we go, on to the NLDS anyway. So regardless, we're on the cusp, and it'll be very exciting. Hopefully we can have another podcast before the Brewers start the World Series. We'll see.
Well, and the other big thing about that is you really want this. If you're a Brewers fan, you really want to push both the Cardinals and the Cubs to the brink, because – you want the Cubs to have to start everyone all the way through it to win the division, and you want the Cardinals to have to start everyone all the way through it just to make the playoffs. Because if you do that, then suddenly they have to use, you know, their, quote, ace or number two guy in the last, you know, game or the second last game of the year, and then they're not available for, you know, either the wild card or for game one or something like that. And so if you're able to do that as a Brewer fan, that's absolutely huge. So let's hope that let's hope that we can push these guys to the brink.
Absolutely. And and again, they probably want, and they're going to face each other this weekend. So they're definitely, that's a huge rivalry in and of itself, and they're going to be battling for playoff position themselves. So I think it really bodes well for the Brewers. And I think it's just a huge advantage. The Brewers have a better bullpen than the Cubs and the Cardinals, and in my opinion, a superior lineup to especially the Cardinals, and at least on par with the Cubs, and possibly better with Bryant or someone like that out. So I really feel that the Brewers are better than both those teams as we head into the playoffs. I think that's gonna be the deciding factor, but we shall see. But I think we're out of time here, Scott. So if you have any final thoughts, you should probably wrap her up.
No, that's it. I mean, I think we've kind of talked it out. I mean, at this point, like, kudos to all the Brewer fans that stayed up late tonight to watch this game. And they were like, hey, you know what? I could do work tomorrow. You know what? I'm like kind of hungover, or maybe I'm a lack of sleep. That's no big deal. Like, this only happens once a decade for us Brewer fans, and we're not real sure, like, how to kind of react and how to go about our business, and this is the right way to do it. Like, you just have to just root for this team and hope that this is an incredibly special year that we've been waiting for a long, long time.
Yeah. And again, during this last week, every loss seems devastating, but I think we put ourselves in a position where we only have to win a few of the remaining games, and the others, I think we're still going to get in. So fingers crossed, but yeah, I think this is a very good team, and yeah, let's go for it. So I have one thing left to do, Scott.
Are we allowed?
Let's wrap up the podcast.
Win the whole effing thing.
You can say fuck, Scott.
Oh, well, win the whole fucking thing then. Holy shit.
Yes.
Was I allowed to swear this whole fucking time? Jesus fucking Christ.
I was fine with it.
Get pumped. Holy shit. This is it.
All right. Let's do it, Scott. All right. Stay classy, West Dallas. Stay classy, St. Louis.
I'll try to stay.
Stay, stay classy, Cubs fans, because you guys are going to be going home early this year. Well, not U.S. Dallas. You're good. So, all right. Have a good night, Scott. We'll be coming back at you with a new podcast soon. Make sure to follow our Twitter feed. You guys know all the stuff. And we will see you out at Miller Park for the playoffs. All right. Go Brewers.
Awesome. Go Brewers.